This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Skip Liesgang, who is the Vice President of the Government Channels Division for MX Group, and Alan Rubin, the Vice President of Marketing. Gentlemen, welcome.
Good morning.
Morning, Mark. How are you?
Great.
Thanks for having us.
First things first, let's get backgrounds on both of you. We'll start with Skip, please.
Sure, Mark. Well, I've been involved in the IT industry here in Washington for the past 28 years, believe it or not, in this crazy industry, primarily selling IT to the government in a number of capacities, both direct sales, channel sales. During that career, kind of has morphed from being with a small reseller at first, going to a large OEM for a long time, coming out to a classic distributor, spent some time at a startup, and then have been at the MX Group for the last 5.5 years. And I think this background of working with all sorts of entities, OEMs, from large OEMs to the small resellers, give me a good background and baseline for helping manufacturers and partners kind of bring the ecosystem together as it relates to go-to-market strategies for the federal market space.
Yeah, and as we all know, the channel side of this market is huge and often done poorly.
That creates a role for us, absolutely.
Yes, it does. Alan.
Yeah, I've been with MX Group for about 4 years, running their marketing and market intelligence organizations. My background is a combination of marketing and sales, primarily in the media space with both print and online. Did some time in the dot-com space and spent some time with a company that does that sells training, both commercially and to the government before I came to MX Group, and really been focused very heavily on things that we can do at MX Group to generate leads for the manufacturers that we represent and their partners.
Okay, cool. So let's talk some about the channel here. That's the focus of this particular show, but market conditions are just absolutely abysmal, but you guys continue to grow. You know, my research was relatively incomplete because I hadn't realized that EC America was technically part of, or not technically, is part of the MX Group. So, you know, maybe your WT stats would change too. But you guys have been, company started in 97.
Correct.
You've been on the WashTec Top 100 since 2006. So decent growth out of the chute. And 2012, number 61. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I just got the report from Schedule 70, the IT acquisition service. And, you know, your combined stats, EC and MX, puts you at number 2 on the schedule, IT 70 schedule sales year to date, too. So some serious.
Yeah, something we're very proud of.
Yeah, and your sales stats over last year's, correct me if I'm wrong, are better, which is good because Schedule 70 is not better than last year.
Yeah, we've continued to experience a lot of growth over the last couple of years, a lot of that driven by Skip's Government Channels division that he's here to talk about.
Okay, and Skip, you had a report a little while ago on the channel. What were some of the highlights from that, please?
You know, so out of a group that I formed a few years back called the Government Channel Leadership Council, GCLC for short, which is really the channel leaders in town that run the manufacturers, everybody that's involved in channels gets together. It's kind of a birds of a feather session to really look at best practices, look at networking opportunities, look at ways that we can be better serving both the manufacturers that we work with as well as the partners themselves. And some of the things we've been concentrating on lately is, you know, the impact of the cloud on the federal VAR community. I think a lot of work has been done, you know, in commercial publications about how the cloud's going to impact your managed service providers and your systems integrators, more in a commercial sense. I think there's a little bit of uniqueness here within the federal market space in terms of cloud and cloud implementation, private clouds versus public clouds and shared, that the impact is going to be a little bit different for what I'm calling the federal VAR community in here. Those are the folks that are selling a lot of the products and infrastructure into the government today. And so we're looking at, you know, how's that going to be impacted if, in fact, you know, the large data centers out there that are providing a lot of the federal cloud services or are going to strike deals directly with the manufacturers, thus cutting out some of the middleman, whether that's the distributor or the reseller or the systems integrators. Mm-hmm. What role is systems integrators going to play in the cloud role? So trying to formulate a strategy there. We're also looking at, you know, some of the new competition rules that have been rolled out and what impact that's going to have on our channel. Will it slow down sales cycles? What are the things that we need to do as a channel community to better educate the channel partners and the manufacturers on best ways to do that? And then lastly, we're looking at, you know, best practices around things like education and training of our partners, certification programs, deal registration programs, all the things that makes a program successful and profitable for all parties.
Okay. I like the certification side just for one piece of news that came out last week or the week before. I forget when it came out. But Apple chose not to recertify with the EPEAT, the Electronic Product Environment Assessment Tool, and they thought it would not necessarily impact the sales of government. It's a federal reg, but apparently a number of state and local governments use it too. And the first thing that happened is their home turf, San Francisco, can no longer buy it because they operate on the EPEAT standard. So one of the issues, and I don't bring that up for comment, and I'm not trying to slam Apple, but it's one of those unintended consequence things. A lot of the federal regulations may seem onerous, but a lot of state and local governments predicate their sales on those same certs.
Sure.
And you guys have, I'm not even sure how many state and local contracts. But I know you're huge in the cooperative agreement GSA has with others, but you also carry a number of state vehicles. How important are these types of certifications to all of your partners when it comes to dealing with state and local governments?
Well, yeah, I think you bring up a good point. And we do have a portfolio of government contract vehicles as well as state contract vehicles. Some of those mirror the federal contracts. So you look at a CMS or Texas or Ohio, those are really mirrors of our GSA schedule and those terms and conditions. But the certifications, whether they be EPEAT or any of the other FSMA types of things, really are promulgating out through the state and local communities. And so I think manufacturers have got to make sure they've got a keen eye on making sure they've got the right certifications for their products in various sets, because if not, that they're going to be shut out of certain markets. And I think, you know, where it was a threat before, I think, you know, this example here with Apple shows it's a real barrier to entry if, in fact, you're not keeping a hold of what these certifications are and the impact that it could provide to you or your channel partners.
Right. So what other let me ask it a different way. For a lot of years, I've been recommending to any manufacturer that calls, look at the channel first. You do not want to carry your own schedule. Give me some reasons why manufacturers should use the channel, why they really don't want to carry that their own vehicle.
Sure. And so that's something that we've been looking at for years. And so we help people that do want to hold their own schedules. And that's how the company formed 15 years ago, is really helping companies that wanted to hold their own schedules. But people have migrated away from that. Many companies have. They just don't have the expertise or the stomach for the risk that presents to them. So we think that holding your own schedule presents probably some unnecessary risk, and putting a third party intermediary, whether it's us or a number of other companies out there that can provide those services, really truly makes sense. Why you want that channel is they're going to provide you that leverage and feet on the street to get your solutions out there. No manufacturer is big enough, from the largest guys all the way down to the smallest guys. They need the leverage of more people understanding their solutions and putting them out in the market space. They need additional contract vehicles, whether it's GSA or Super, any of the variety or portfolio of contracts that they need. They need those things because contracts are king in government, whether it's at the state and local side or at the federal side. You need a wide variety of portfolio of contracts. There's the state and there's the set aside, all the socioeconomic programs that are out there that there are so keen within the government. And then lastly, just the solutions that a partner can bring to bear. The government doesn't want to buy point solutions. They want to buy a solution that only a partner can bring a variety of solutions to bear.
Cool.
I think, Mark, there's also an aspect of just profitability for the manufacturer. We want the manufacturers to be able to focus on making the products that the government needs and selling those products, as opposed to being involved in the administration of the contract. And so working with the partner community allows them to leverage, as Skip said, those feet on the street, the relationships that they have and the understanding those folks have with the government customer. They can focus on supporting those feet on the street and putting better products out and focus a little bit less on the administration.
Cool. And what we've seen, one further point, is what we've seen is a lot of companies not good at managing these contracts. So from a compliance standpoint, which is huge, you got to make sure that you've got a team that's focused in on making sure all your contracts are compliant with what's going on in government, or you run afoul.
Excellent. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are the tag team from IMIX, Skip Liesgang and Alan Rubin. Skip is the Vice President of Government Channels, and Alan is the Vice President of Marketing. Gentlemen, let's talk a little bit about, we're going to continue with the channel thing. What's the criteria? You know, I tell people, they call manufacturer calls, we want to get a GSA scheduling on. No, you don't. You need a partner to do that for you. Why? Because you're going to get your butt kicked and you'll never make any money. Okay, how do I select them? So what's the criteria
for selecting channel partners, or who holds your GSA schedule?
Actually, both.
Okay,
so let's start with who holds.
Okay, so you want a partner that clearly has expertise in managing GSA schedules, a track record of history and success, getting products on and maintaining those contracts in a compliant manner. I mean, that's critical. Somebody that knows how to market those contracts. That once you get a product on contract, it's a selling. It's a hunting license. You need a company that's going to do more than that and help you market and do lead generation activities and government marketing activities out in the market space that will get your product better known. It's more than just holding the contract. It's what you can do once you've put those things in. How do you leverage multiple complementary vendors to bring solutions to market? So I think it's a breadth of services that you're looking for from your GSA schedule holder.
Okay, you said something interesting there. A bunch of complementary products. Mm-hmm. A lot of resellers just take everything.
Right.
Why is it better to have complementary products?
Well, clearly, as I stated before, I think the government's looking for solutions to their mission requirements. And so a partner that can bring a contract vehicle that has a number of solutions on it that they can craft into meeting the mission's needs through, you know, whether it's storage or servers or security products, and bundle a solution off of one contract makes it easier for the government to buy. Government doesn't want to have to buy their, you know, product set and their solutions off of multiple contract vehicles. So somebody that provides a broad portfolio of products, a breadth of products that they can buy all at one time makes it simpler for them.
So sort of hand in glove kind of thing. This is what we're looking for, and these five or six products are one of the solutions available.
Correct.
Okay, cool. What else?
To your second point, how do you one of the things that I've been involved in for the last couple of years, or many years really, is how do you select the right channel partners? A lot of companies struggle with this. They come to market and they think they need a lot of channel partners, and they think that quantity is going to equal sales. And I tell them, it's probably the farthest thing from the truth. I've seen channel programs that are successful at two to three partners in them. And you've got to really look at your product set that you're selling out in the market space and understand where that product fits. Is it more of a direct sale because it's high end, it's very complex, and a channel's not going to understand it, all the way down to a commodity-like product where there's a lot of pull for it out in the market space. And so where your product sits on that continuum from a really highly undifferentiated product from the commodity side to very differentiated high-end ERP type systems, mainframe type systems, really places, you know, determines where you put it on there. Then you get to decide what types of partners, whether you have specialty partners or more broad line partners. But you're looking for, you know, making sure you've got the right geographic reach, the right technology reach with your partners, those that understand that technology. But you're also in this world looking at the contract vehicles that they hold and the socioeconomic status that they may also hold. So looking to make sure that you have a solution if the government's looking for a woman-owned business, an SDVOB, an N8A, those types of things. So I think all those combine to making sure you're building a productive channel out there. And that's what we kind of help companies look at, make sure that they've got the right framework and infrastructure and platform in place for partner growth.
Okay, can I extrapolate from that Immix has a variety of reseller and other channel partners that fit 8A, woman-owned, service-disabled, et cetera?
Correct. We work with probably 450-plus partners right now that we're signed up that really focus in on the federal market space. So while that might seem like a small number, in the federal space, those are all the who's who. But it's everyone from, you know, AT&T and Verizon and Quest, the big guys, the big systems integrators, down to much more niche-oriented shops that might be right outside a base but have a specific technology focus or geographic focus in that case, or socioeconomic status. So we make sure that portfolio is there. We profile all the partners in our community so that as our clients come up to us and say, hey, I need a woman-owned 8A in San Diego that sells Oracle and Cisco and Brocade, we're able to look through that and come together with what that partnership should look like and who those partners are.
And also it helps us to be a little more flexible in working with our government customers as well, who sometimes want to work with a certain partner or want to, you know, they need socioeconomic status. They need some type of support from a specific partner. As Skip said, because of the breadth of who we have signed up, there's a pretty good chance we can help them.
So, in effect, Immix can help an agency or any agency meet its set-aside goals.
Absolutely. Okay. And we spend a lot of time with our manufacturers going through a recruitment process to determine what is the right number and what's the right, you know, makeup of that channel to make sure they can meet the needs of their ultimate client, which are the agencies.
Cool. Very cool. So the marketing side of the equation starts to enter the picture here. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies, you know, one of the complaints I get from some resellers that I know are that, the CEO or the VP of marketing gets a call from a manufacturer and says, oh, we're going to do a radio spot, use your MDF. And I've already cut it. that's kind of throwing mud against the wall. So I have to assume at this point, predicated primarily but not exclusively on your growth, that you've got a set of marketing tools in place to help people in particular niches. Give me a thumbnail here on what that looks like.
Sure. Well, because our mission is to help technology companies do business with the government, we're very focused on lead generation activities. So we do support clients of ours who want to do more brand awareness things, but our focus tends to be really on the things that will help them connect with the people within government who they really want to speak to and where they have a solution they can provide. So we tend to focus on a lot of things from face-to-face perspective, a lot of events. We do a lot online in terms of webinars, social media. We've got about 30 programs in all that we put together that we can do cost effectively and roll out pretty quickly. A lot of it is custom, but a lot of are things that we can work specifically with a manufacturer, understand who they're trying to reach into within the market, help them understand a little bit more about where there might be some opportunities, and then work with them to do campaigns to get people to raise their hand and show where there might be some interest in having a conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll add on to that. You know, I work with Alan's organization, who is, you know, we are being 100% public sector and mainly federally focused allows us and our marketing team to get very, very targeted. And so working with them, that are seasoned professionals, that all they do is execute these things, that we're really looking at bringing more at-bats to both our partners and the clients. How do they get, you know, areas to more access to more relevant opportunities? We do that through sort of our market intelligence. Our analysts are looking at that, you know, those agencies, those budgets, the programs, the technologies, the systems integrators. What does that ecosystem look like so that when we are doing these marketing events, they're much more targeted at a specific agency, at a specific technology, at a specific program, as opposed to something that's shotgun. And I think Alan's team has done a great job in providing those sets of services to our clients, but more importantly, to the partners who see the real value in what we can bring to them.
Okay. Give me an idea of the mix between what we would call traditional marketing versus Web 2.0. So let me just throw out some thoughts here. Live events. Between the takes, we were talking about large trade shows and you know, we can debate whether or not they still have a place in the market or not, but they're still here. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of different events, particularly, you know, in agency or where there's a cluster of agencies. Do these play a significant role for MX?
Sure. We have put together, well, first of all, I'll back up. But over the last several years, we've focused a lot on custom seminars, user groups, technology days where we'll go out and try to generate a government audience, work with a manufacturer or a partner, and try to bring information about their products to a community that might be interested. As you mentioned, trade shows, it's getting harder and harder to justify some of the spend there. That with some of the travel restrictions, people are very leery of going to a lot of these things. I do agree with you, Mark. I think they still have a place. One of the things we have focused on is trying to look at items like trade shows and make them more efficient and cost-effective for our clients. So there's some programs that we have to try to bring people together into a shared booth, a kiosk program, if you will. We've done the same thing with some of the tabletop activities that occur within the agency where the people don't actually have to travel. Trying to bring some of those marketing activities out to our clients, many of whom are not located here, so they don't necessarily know all the ins and outs, or they don't have the staff to really focus on following all these types of activities. We've tried to pull a lot of those things together and make it easy for them. I think one of the big trends that we are seeing, in addition to where the trade shows are going and, you know, AFITC being canceled, some of the other recent shows that have fallen on harder times, is there's just so much competition for audience. You can look at sites like govevents.com and you know, they're any given day, as you know, you can eat rubber chicken anywhere in Washington, you know, three times a day. It's harder and harder to get people to come out to some of these events. So as Skip mentioned, a lot of our focus has been on being much more relevant, targeted, smaller audiences, but focused on the things that they really care about.
Yeah. You may remember this if you've been in the market long enough. When Oracle was first coming into the government market, late 80s through the mid 90s, they would take out a spread in GCN or FCW on facing pages, and they'd do a roadshow. On the left column, on the left side of the page, they'd have the agenda of the event, and on the right side, it would list all of the cities that they'd be in. They were breakfast briefings, usually 90 minutes. You get coffee, Danish, you know, the $14 Danish or whatever the hell it is. But the government didn't pay for it, or did. but they really went on this tremendous roadshow, and they built a remarkable business as a result. So the event side has been with us forever, and I don't think it's ever going to go away.
Right.
No, we see it a little bit more targeted. So that guerrilla marketing, those types of roadshows, we think can still be effective, but they're going to be a smaller audiences. So going to lockdown in San Antonio and expecting everybody from San Antonio to show up for multi-client events, probably going to be tougher. But if we did something, we're doing a lot of these with Brocade as we speak, tech days at specific bases, where it's much more smaller, targeted, and focused around. And you're not trying to get hundreds of people there. You're trying to get a dozen of the real decision makers, the people that matter, into those types of things. And so we see a lot doing a lot more small things as opposed to large, big things.
Cool.
I mentioned when you asked about our background that, you know, a big part of my background was media. So I believe in content. I think content is king, and I think you have to put together editorial content to get people out that's going to help them and be relevant to them.
Let's pick up the content on the other side of this break. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after these messages. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Skip Liesgang, who is the Vice President of the Government Channels Division for MX, and Alan Rubin, the VP of Marketing for MX. And this segment is content. Alan, you made the statement that content is king. In presentations that I've done recently for the government marketing best practices and actually on LinkedIn training that I do, mm-hmm. I point to MX as, social media doesn't mean anything without content. If you're not adding value to the equation, why bother? Mm-hmm. so I take a snapshot of your resources page. And it starts off with the newsletters, the blogs, the white papers, on and on. So give us a feel for the breadth and depth of the content that you guys develop here.
Sure. We have several different content sources that we put out into the market, primarily aimed at our manufacturer clients and the partners that we support. So it's our way of helping them understand what's going on in the marketplace, where there might be opportunities to do business with the government, what some of the government's needs might be, and how to work through some of the changes that we're all facing right now. So we have a monthly e-newsletter called Public Sector Business Alert. We try to write these in a way that they're very targeted and focused and quick hit for very busy executives that we work with. We have a blog called The Government Sales Insider, covers areas ranging from Skip's side of the business, the channel side, to marketing. I post a lot of blogs. We have a market intelligence organization. A lot of it is sales focused, contracts. So we talk about a lot of the things that people in our space need to know when they're doing business with the government. We have, as Skip mentioned, the Government Channel Leadership Council, which meets a couple of times a year and is providing research and information for folks who are in the channel and trying to be more successful there. And a number of training classes that we offer, fundamentals of doing business with the government. There's a contracting essentials class. Skip teaches a class on channel management strategies. All of these, by the way, people sometimes think of us as a training company because they come to our training classes and they think that's what we do. And it is a big part of what we do, but it's not a moneymaker for us. We actually donate all the proceeds to our foundation. So it's really our way of working with our clients to make them more successful, because we know that the more we can provide them with relevant content, help them understand the market and where the opportunities are, the better we're all going to perform, and the more we can meet the needs of the customer. It's going to be better for everybody.
Well, it's kind of funny, but it's when you say meet the needs of the customer, one of the statements that I get when I get a call from a novice or relative novice, I think, well, who do you want to sell to? The government.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Right.
It's not one blob out there.
Right. And that's one of the advantages I'm very fortunate to have on my team, a market intelligence group. That their sole purpose is to understand the marketplace and look for opportunities, understand what different people within the government, what some of their challenges are, where they might need technology solutions. And then we take that information and we'll turn around and work with our clients and our partners to help them understand this is a place where there is a need, there is funding, there's a pain that they're trying to solve, and we think that your product might fit in to a potential solution there. So again, as we mentioned, a lot of this is about relevancy and targeting, and how do you make sure that you're speaking to the right people at the right time about things that they actually care about. And so we have that mechanism to identify where those opportunities might be, and try to accelerate that sales cycle, help the government get what they need more quickly, help our clients get into the sales process faster.
Yeah, so from a partner perspective, because it's all about making our clients and our partners more productive in the market space. And we do that through our IGAP program, which is MX's government aggregation program, which is really a portfolio of programs, again, aimed at ramping our clients and their partners' solutions into the market space. So that relevancy that Alan talks about, knowing where to aim, because selling into the federal can be a daunting area. Everyone wants to go after that $80, $120 billion IT budget everyone talks about. But if you're not focused, if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a territory plan and where your products and solutions fit in, and you as a partner, where your solutions and the complementary products that you have to bring to bear, where to focus, you'll spin cycles in here. And you see a lot of sales reps that are just not successful, both at the client and manufacturer side as well as the partner. So we're trying to provide some semblance of relevancy there, of making sense out of all of the opportunities that exist out there and aim them in the right direction faster.
Okay. And aiming them in the right direction, we can go back to your government channel leadership group for a moment. You've got, I attended one of those, I don't know, 3 or 4 months back, I guess. Very cool gathering, number one. 50 plus people, but all hitters. Nobody's sitting there necessarily taking notes. Everybody's sitting there waiting to contribute. And that kind of event is number one, rare, but number two, just really cool to sit in and watch the dynamics. What kinds of information evolve out of that, and how do you guys use it?
Sure. Well, I appreciate, your involvement in it. And it's been a process. It started out as a very small group years ago with my passion around how do you build a productive channel. I needed a forum to do that, a platform. When I arrived at IMEX, I saw a platform because of the number of clients we had and partners that we could interface with. So I wanted to bring together a lot of those guys who are my buddies, quite frankly, who are running the channels out there that really facing the same issues. We all have common jobs and common issues, common partners. And so I wanted to provide a forum where we could, look at some of the best practices that are out there, look at some of the common challenges and how we as a group can go address those. Sometimes we're competing out there. We're competing for mindshare, we're competing for partners, and we're competing technology. But we all know each other, and we know that we all have a common goal of how do we meet the agencies' needs out and about, because that's what it's all about. That's what we're here for, in making government a more efficient, more productive enterprise for us all. So the GCLC really looks at what are the things that we as an industry from a channels perspective can do. How do you best enable our channel partners and their routes to market to make it more efficient, to take cost out of the system for the manufacturer, but enable the government to buy our products and solutions in an easier fashion?
And we've used some of the content from that. We've recorded, we've put some white papers out, we've put some research out, and really used it as a way to educate those folks that Skip was talking about and start a dialogue and continue a dialogue. We have a LinkedIn group specifically for people who are in the Government Channel Leadership Council. I know that you're a part of that. Thank you. It's once again a forum to share ideas, share content, best practices. It's not really about marketing. It's really about how do we understand what's going on and how do we help each other be more successful. And, to Skip's point at the end of the day, it's about making the government more successful.
Okay. Yeah, we continue to see federal being an offshoot of a commercial organization. And so there's not been a forum to bring together thoughts and ideas around government channels, whether that's routes to market, whether that's direct, all in one group. And so that's what we're hoping to do here, is really provide a forum for that unique group that's out there that I've been part of for 28 years.
Right. Without naming names, your point there about federal being an offshoot of commercial group, especially for larger companies, this has gotten some companies into trouble when they've carried their own schedule.
Correct.
Because the companies are so big, there's absolutely no way you can understand the pricing issues across, the known universe.
Correct.
And if one person in Malaysia sells something at a slightly lower price, you could be in deep kimchi.
Right. And that's why you want to hire an expert to help you manage your GSA schedule. I think what you've seen over the past couple of years is all the large players have gotten out of holding their own GSA schedules and contracts. They're getting away from that. You've read the press of who's out and who's in, and there's very few people that are holding their own contracts. And if they are, mainly for their services, but not on the product side. It's just too complex. You need some expertise there, and we're happy to provide that.
There you go. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, back after these messages. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Skip Liesgang, Vice President of Government Channels at Immix, and Alan Rubin, his counterpart, the Vice President of Marketing over at Immix. What website, Alan?
www.immixgroup.com.
Immixgroup.com. IMMIXgroup.com. There's a lot of neat stuff there on that site. And go there, click on the resources, sign up for the newsletter if you don't do anything else. Download some of the white papers. I mentioned this during the break. Steve Charles, your EVP, mm-hmm. co-wrote a white paper with
Rob Silverman,
mm-hmm. That I got dispensation to include in my last book. It had been around for a while then, but the white paper itself still has extraordinary validity, as do, you know, pretty much everything I download from you guys.
Well, thank you.
Which is, I think, everything.
Yeah, and we talked about the blog a little bit earlier, where things are changing so quickly that we're trying to use that format to keep our clients educated on, you know, what's going on with all the things that are coming out in the news and what mm-hmm. the impact is on the contracting community.
Okay. Skip, you had a few things you wanted to discuss regarding simple things like aggregation, et cetera. So, what are they?
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity here. As a student of this channel for the last 28 years, I think we're at a very big inflection point in the market space and how channels are going to interact with that. You know, that inflection point involves, you know, what we're going through on the government side with budgets and more competition and some of the changes that are happening at the procurement and policy side, along with some of the drivers within government, whether those things are around cloud and the cloud strategies, cybersecurity, physical security, consolidation, virtualization, mobility, social media, all the things that everybody talks about. But I think the inflection point there is how does the partner bring those solutions to bear? And so what we saw a few years back was that the traditional distributor community, whether those be broad lines or the value distributors out there, were really missing the mark in the government space. And I had dealt with them for years. Good group of folks that really understand things, but their programs are much more commercially oriented in helping the manufacturers in that what I'll call the SMB market.
Mm-hmm.
Government's an enterprise play, and they need to have the right program. So we saw them missing that, not really being focused in on this market. And this is a huge market. This government vertical, as you know, Fortune 1, you really need the right set of programs and focuses on this market. And we don't see those guys here, primarily because they don't know the market and they're not local. So we live this market each and every day, and we've made careers of this. They're trying to apply some of the commercial programs into this space, and they're just not being successful. And they just don't understand some of the unique needs of the federal sales teams. So we came up with a program, government aggregation program, IGAP, to really focus in on that. And best way to describe it, it's distribution on steroids. So we do all the traditional things a distributor might do around, you know, pick, pack, and ship, and quoting, and invoicing, and partner development and recruiting, but really then take it to the next level. The sales teams and the partners need, again, more at-bats, more opportunities to focus in on. So we do that through, you know, specific targeted government marketing. I think we've talked a lot about that. Using market intelligence resources to figure out when we do sales and marketing campaigns, how to go after that in a more efficient manner. We talk about, channel development, finding the right partners for this space, then developing them, getting them certified, ramping them up, and all those things, very particular to the federal market space and knowing the intricacies of rated orders and maintenance and arrears and availability of funds and all the things that we live with day to day here locally, but that the traditional distributors have missed out on. So when we started to craft this program a couple of years ago, we went out to the community and said, hey, what are the things that you need to support your business? And we went to the partners as well as the manufacturers. They came back with some, you know, things that they needed tactically to support the business. And I think we've crafted a program through IGAP that really, you know, hits home on a lot of those things and really provides some actionable intelligence and feet on the street marketing and sales capabilities. Lead gen is key, right? They're all looking for, as this market slows down, lead generation, more opportunities, more at-bats is key. And how do you do that in the government space? Some of these guys have outsourced their lead generation activities to commercial companies around the country, and they've had mixed success with that in the federal space. Knowing what to talk about when you get a government customer on the line, government contractor, and how do you change to supporting the mission versus profitability? You've got to change those things, and you've got to have some understanding of what those requirements are within the agency that makes it a lot more relevant. So I think that's, you know, that's what we're trying to do with our IGAP program, and it's been extremely successful.
I think, you know, Skip mentioned a lot of the things that we've done on the marketing side, market intelligence. It's really about helping those manufacturers that we support develop more productive channels, accelerate their sales cycle, and get to know their customers better so that they can deliver the solutions that the customers need on the government side.
You know, the acceleration thing is very cool because American Express Open did a study a couple of years ago that showed companies entering the market took an average of 19 and a half months to get that first sale, that first contract, and they were spending about $85,000 a year either in cash or in resources to get there. But what I'm seeing here and what I had hoped when I find a manufacturer that fits, I aim them at a very small handful of organizations like Immix. And what I hope is that process accelerates.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So we've actually tactically have come up with jumpstart programs, which is our way of trying to say from the time a client says, yeah, I want to do business in government, to they're doing business in government in a productive way. We try and there's a number of activities that go into that. Mm-hmm. How do we train their sales force? How do we train their partners? How do we get their products on contract? How do we start marketing? All those things go into these jumpstart programs, and we're measuring our effectiveness on that ramp, what we'll call ramp to revenue there, which are things. But why does it matter? I mean, at the end of the day, why are we doing this? 80%, we look at 80% of the IT products that are going into the federal space go through a channel of some sort, mm-hmm. right? So years ago, when we first got in this market space, it was 50%, right? People were using channels around 50% of the time. Now it's 80%. So we as an industry have got to figure out, how do you make sure, if those are your routes to market, if you're a channel company, you've got to make sure that you've got the most productive, most efficient channel out there. And I don't think a lot of people spend enough time on that. And that's where we come in to really help them make sure that they've got the right, most productive channel.
Okay. Any thoughts on that one?
I think Skip said that one pretty well.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left here. And Alan, I know that you, like me, are a big proponent of social media. I know you guys do a lot of webinars. I'm assuming that your attendance at those, I mean, webinars are cool because if you can't make the first one, you always go to the replay.
Right.
And you've got a decent library of webinars at your site. But as far as social media goes, we're talking between takes here. There's been an extraordinary amount of talk about LinkedIn especially. And next week's show is going to focus on LinkedIn and Twitter, oddly enough. But one of the things that you said in the break is, you know, a lot of people are talking about it and a lot of people are sitting there looking, but, the engagement just isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I think it's a time investment. I think a lot of the events and activities that I've gone to from a government marketing perspective, everybody's talking about it. There's not a lot of solutions. Everybody's trying it, but what does trying it really mean? And as we talked about, sometimes that means, well, I go on and I post something, you know, once or twice a month and nothing ever happens. Well, of course nothing ever happens. You've got to be engaged in it. And I think you've got to look at it for what it is. It's a way to connect with people, get to know them, share ideas and thoughts, and share content. As we discussed earlier, you have to provide value. It can't be all about talking about my product or, you know, why I'm the best thing since sliced bread. It's got to be about, there has to be something in it for the person on the other end. And it takes a time commitment. There's no hard cost involved necessarily, unless you're outsourcing some of that. But you have to dedicate the people and the time and really think about how you're going to use it. And I don't think a lot of people put that level of effort in. I think they probably dance with it a little bit and then say, well, I didn't really get anything out of that, and they walk away.
Yeah, and how many times have we heard that about how many different marketing methods? I tried that once, you know. I went to Fosse once and it didn't work.
Right.
Or I did a show once and, you know, Gosh.
Right. And it's not an easy nut to crack. I think people are still trying to figure it out. And, you know, we've had some success using LinkedIn and some of the other tools that are out there, but it's emerging so quickly. There's always new ways to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has the same risk and danger as every other marketing medium, which is that if it's abused or used too much, then it starts to become noise and then people tune it out. So again, I think it goes back to relevancy. Are you looking at the right people? Are you speaking language that they care about and they understand? And are you doing it in the right frequency so it's not overwhelming, but they know that anytime you say something in an online forum or through social media that you're saying something that's going to be relevant and meaningful and not just noise.
Bingo. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in. My guests today have been Skip Liesgang, Vice President of Government Channels at Immix Group, and Alan Rubin, the Vice President of Marketing, also at Immix Group. Thank you so much for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having
the opportunity, Mark.
This is not my day job. If you want to ensure your marketing program is paying top dividends, give me a call. You can find me all over LinkedIn. And thanks for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.